Minor Talk first started back in 2019. This is my 10th year of covering UTEP athletics. My name is Adrian Broaddus. I'm the host of Minor Talk. We are going to get to UTEP head coach Scotty Walden, featured guest of the Minor Talk podcast here. The idea is we're going to be doing this at least once a week leading into the actual season. We're less than a month away now from the start of the UTEP football season, so it's time to rip the Band-Aid off. It's time to start talking UTEP football, and we are so excited to do this here on the Minor Talk podcast. I started covering UTEP after I graduated from Franklin High School. I worked for the UTEP Prospector, covered the minors at that time, then transitioned to working over here at 600 ESPN El Paso, where I've been here for the last 7 years, and now going into year 10 of covering UTEP athletics. You know, you think of so much when it comes to men's basketball and football. This is the sixth year of doing Minor Talk for all the football games, all the men's basketball games. You figure all the different things that we've seen over time, right? All the team here on Minor Talk has seen the 1-11 seasons where things were so low at UTEP in terms of football. They watched the 3-9 season last year, first year under head coach Scotty Walden. They've done the 0-12 seasons before. That was way back in 2017, not doing the Minor Talk podcast or Minor Talk to begin with. However, working with the UTEP Prospector and having to endure a season just like that. But I've also witnessed some of the highs while covering UTEP athletics and UTEP football in particular, like the New Mexico Bowl back in 2021 and how excited the fan base was when they went out to Albuquerque, you know, went and won 7 games going into that game against Fresno State and had an opportunity at that time to win the first bowl game in UTEP history since they last won the Sun Bowl back in 1967 against Ole Miss. That's the last time UTEP has won a bowl game. And since then, you're not talking about raising a lot of banners or winning a lot of games during that span. But I grew up like a lot of these people who listen here on Minor Talk or who might call in. A UTEP fan, my grandpa played for the Miners and at the time Texas Western back in the late 40s, in the early 50s. In fact, his Texas Western Minor team won a bowl game. It was 33-20 against Georgetown, Sun Bowl victory for that one as well. I actually have a special pennant that I was given to it was my grandfather's from winning that bowl game. It's a beautiful Sun Bowl pennant, and those are kind of my roots when it comes to UTEP sports and fandom. My dad took me to all the games probably since I was a baby. I grew up around UTEP athletics. UTEP football games kind of stand out most growing up, going with my mom, going with my grandma, going with my family, my sister. And you know, it's real interesting now to look at it from a different lens, covering UTEP athletics and seeing things from behind the scenes and seeing things, how everything has materialized and grown over time. I mean, covered the Sean Coogler era, covered parts of, all of the Dana Dimmel era, rest in peace. And now covering the start here of the Scotty Walden era here at UTEP. And during that span, there's been a lot of different highs and lows, but interesting to see what happens this year for 2025, and excited to talk a little UTEP football with head coach Scotty Walden. Special thanks to all the crew back at 600 ESPN El Paso, by the way. That's where we need to start things off before we get into the Minor Talk mailbag and then talk to head coach Scotty Walden. Special thanks to Steve Kaplowitz for coming up with the idea to do this to begin with. I love the idea and have loved it ever since. Kevin Vargas for signing off on the idea, along with Brad DeBow, all our bosses who've helped out over time. Sal Montes, Alberto Retta, Zay Galindo, the whole crew back at Minor Talk, everybody who's contributed over the years. Big shout out to Chris, who works with us from Inspo Lens as well. He helped videotape all of Minor Talk last year, which was amazing to allow a video component last year. Going to be doing that this year with details coming up soon here on the Minor Talk podcast, and of course on regular Minor Talk right after games as well. And of course, you know, special thanks to everybody who supported us, all of our listeners. We couldn't do this without without all the callers who've been so engaged over time. We've had parents call in. We've had frustrated calls. We've had people who don't agree with us. We've had people who've been with us since day one. And we don't take anybody for granted who's been with us for the entire journey. So asked this earlier this week, a Minor Talk mailbag, and we were taping here the first UTEP football season preview podcast this week. Like I mentioned, we got a lot of work to do still. We've got to still pick game by game, still give the record prediction. Fall camp starts today. This is Thursday, and there's a lot to talk about when it comes to UTEP football. So this is head coach Scotty Walden talking before he gets ready for fall camp. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit of the Minor Talk mailbag and some of the questions that came in on Twitter and X. Appreciate everybody chiming in on this one right here. Let's start off with our boy Sidelines UTEP. This is KB, who asks a few question marks heading into the season on the offensive line front. Walden and co. were able to snag a few prospects in Maddox Huber, Tyler Roberts, and Diego De La Cruz to sort of beef up the O-line. What are your thoughts on the offensive line heading into week one? Well, you know, you look at it right now, Kevin, and you look at what's going on with that offensive line. You start on the left side. I'm looking at 6'5", 320-pound sophomore from Southeastern, Mark Robinson, to take that left tackle position and fight for that one here in fall camp. He's one of the most physically gifted guys. He killed it at Southeastern last year. Now he's moving up a level to the FBS level. How will he translate? He will make some of those early mistakes at times, but the physical traits are there. And if you can make him a mainstay on that offensive front, then you've got maybe a starting quality caliber guy that you could trust and rely on at that left tackle position. Going over to the left guard spot, you've got 6'3", 325-pound left guard James Williams. I have him pegged right now as that starter at the left guard position. I think he can win this starting job going into fall camp in a big way. This guy is really physically impressive, and he moves well at that left guard position. I like to see him create opportunities in the run game here moving forward this season. So James Williams at that left guard position. Center, Ivan Escobar. We're going to talk about the senior right here from Montwood High School. Ivan Escobar, he came along late last season for the Miners as a consistent player for the squad. Now, as a center for them, and as, you know, kind of entering this bigger role here for the Miners, there's going to be the growing pains, especially if you're talking about who's going to be the signal caller back there. How does that offensive line kind of unite? And it's got to start right there with that senior and Ivan Escobar. So he's got a hefty plate ahead of him, not to mention you're relying on his health. You want him to stay healthy right there at the center position and rely on him all season long. At the right guard position, I love what we saw from Joseph Immediato last year, the Eastwood graduate. He is so productive on that offensive line. He'll play that right guard position. I feel like he can take this spot right here. If it's not every single game, I feel like he should start out of the gate or can win this job here in fall camp. He's poised to do this right here. Let's see what happens in fall camp when it's all said and done. But Joseph Immediato at the right guard position is a guy I want to highlight. At the right tackle position, as of right now in pencil, I've got Azizi Henry. He, when healthy, it was so effective in the run game. PFF, Pro Football Focus, love the numbers that Azizi Henry put out. Let's see if he can be a consistent player on this offensive line for the Miners. Let's see if he can stay healthy. He's dealt with health issues in the past, but when healthy, this man is productive on the offensive line and really wreaks havoc. So has experience too. You're talking about a guy who has played under the Dana Dimmel offense and a guy who's now transitioning here with Scotty Walden. So this is a guy right here. You got experience with Ivan Escobar. You got the experience with Joseph Immediato. Let's see if they could put it together and come up with that offensive line. That's how I see things right now going into fall camp. Things can obviously change. I mean, think about who else is on this team on the offensive line, to your point, Sidelines. Jaquan Toney up front. You got Juan Camacho Jr. up front. You got Tyler Roberts, the 6'8", 314-pound offensive lineman up front. If you would develop him, I mean, you think about a couple years ago where they had a prospect in Illumina Kelly. That guy had very similar traits to Tyler Roberts. If you can develop a Tyler Roberts, 6'8", I mean, that's really impressive right there. Maddox Hubert, like you mentioned, sideline, 6'7", 300 pounds from Hampshire, Texas. I mean, that sounds like a really, really good prospect to mold into your system. And don't forget about guys like Tyrone McDuffie. You know, he's definitely wanting to get on the field as well. So this team likes to think that their offensive line is a lot further right now than maybe the outside noise would think, or at least I thought going into fall camp. But I think this team, at least for now, likes where they're at that offensive line. Let's see what happens when the actual game happens, right? That's how I kind of feel. I can see it in practice. I could see it in, you know, maybe in these fall camp outings, but I got to see it on the field when we're talking August 30th and beyond. So let's see what happens there. Let's keep it moving with some of the other questions that came our way on this one. UTEP Mineto, Joe John Sr., will it be another Locksley and Mets drama for the starting quarterback? You know, my man, I don't think so. I think this is going to be one of those situations where the Miners make the decision mid-August on who they want: Skylar Locklear, Malachi Nelson, Cade McConnell, or Shea Smith. It's going to be between those four guys right there. And as far as what you got in all the, you know, the quarterbacks, I want to just leave it to Scotty Walden and let you hear from him on what he says on how he will evaluate this position when he gives you his answers. And I think we're going to talk so much about the quarterbacks moving forward. So I'll talk more with guys like Steve, guys like Zay, guys like Alberto and Sal. So we'll talk more about the quarterbacks moving forward. I'm just going to tell you the short answer to that one right there is no. Snappy, this is his season summary forecast. Regular season prediction, 7-5. Bowl game win, yes, 8-5. Breakout star Malachi Nelson reclaiming his elite status. Most improved unit, passing offense, Scotty Walden named COSA coach of the year finalist. Wow. The only thing I outright disagree with there, Snappy, is CUSA coach finalist. Or maybe I do agree with that. They'd never actually give it to Scotty Walden, because even if it's an amazing story like an 8-win season, you know, you're going to have this league saying no way we're giving any kind of postseason awards to a school like UTEP that's on their way out. There he goes, your CUSA freshman of the year hopes right there. I'm still really salty about Kyron Duhon not winning CUSA freshman of the year last year. Lugal, our pal, checks in. Not a question, but I miss minor digs and I want it to be properly mourned. You know, I would say this, man. I want it to be properly mourned as well. We haven't talked about it enough on Sports Talk. And yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, minor digs, I would just say this, like, people who have been on minor digs for a long time, just hit me up. I would love to talk. Like, we could do a podcast. We could not do a podcast. We could just talk about this and what your feelings are. We could bring you on the show. I'm not saying you need to, like, come on the show and talk and agree with everything we say. I've seen the message boards. Like, I'm not dumb. Also, like, you guys could have, like, unify and kind of talk about a new forum idea. Like, the idea of UTEP fans not being able to talk on a forum that has been around for a decade plus, isn't right. I've had people talk crap about me on there. I don't care at all. If I was a fan, I'd disagree with a lot of the stuff I say. Like, I don't care. And so my thoughts to it is, the Minor Digs group, I really feel for them. I feel like that, you know, not having a forum like that, the people who are so active on there, like, those are the cool things to see, like, from UTEP fans, the people who actually care and will take time out of their day to do stuff like that. Here's Pick My Axe 915. In terms of predictions, I would say 5 wins is fair based on the question marks at quarterback, O-line, and on defense. If the run game is reliable, I think it'll be a bowl-eligible team. Then he follows it up with, what's going to be the difference in defensive schemes? J.J. Clark's defense was the strongest unit of the team, and they were fun to watch, very aggressive. As far as your prediction first, Pick My Axe, I would say I agree with around that number. I mean, that's what Vegas has, so this is such a answer by me, but 5 wins is fair. Yeah, no duh. 5 wins is fair. So I think that's fine. The run game side that you mentioned is going to be interesting, because if Hashawn Wilson is like that guy, and can be better than Javon Jackson last year. And oh, by the way, it's not like Ashton Emery is not going to come along this year. Like, I have a lot of faith in him. And it might not matter with all those guys. You might just have a Cam Thomas who, or like a breakout, another star who can just help, take some carries out of the backfield at times and be this gadget type of player that you can rely on. I don't know. I don't know what this team could end up throwing out there, but those were some of the things that they threw out there last year. I just like what Hashawn Wilson brought in this spring game. I also really like what we've seen from Ashton Emery. And I think Ashton Emery is really, really poised to break out here in fall camp and take a majority or a good chunk of these carries going into the season. This is coming in from NBA Samboy at Samville 936. If you had to repeat, if you guys have a repeat of last season, is Scotty on the hot seat? Will Malachi really be the starting quarterback, or is it a quarterback battle for the media? Locklear will get the start. To the first question, no. I mean, it's 2 years. 2 years. It's 2 years, and there's no way that you say hot seat after that. My expectations, I mean, look, UTEP has been a bad program year over year. My expectations are if you can go and flirt with a, 500 kind of season at year two, that right there shows progress. And I would say that in an NIL world and a transfer portal world and the realignment world that UTEP lives in, be realistic. Like, when you're talking about UTEP football. Also, will Malachi really be the starting quarterback, or is this a quarterback battle for the media? This is a quarterback battle. This is actually going to be a quarterback battle, and they'll wrap this up quicker than they did last year. I don't think they're going to drag this into the final week of this season. Rudy at RuMikey1. I believe 8-4 is a possibility, but the offense needs to sustain drives and not wear out the defense. What record will put asses in the seats at the Sun Bowl? I think it's games, Rudy. I think it's going to be certain games. Like UT Martin, all right, you win that game. They got to hype that one up. I think they're going to do a good job of getting people excited for that home opener, right? After that game, Louisiana Monroe, that'll be cool. If you can get fans out there for La Tech, that's September 27th. If you're playing relevant football right there, if you won back-to-back home games against UT Martin and Louisiana Monroe going into that September 27th, game, and you have momentum going into that one, I think that's the first one I circle right there. Then you're going to go, and I mean, the CUSA weeknight schedule just jacks everything up in October. Going into November, they got two afternoon games, and one of them is the Battle of I-10. That late November game, you have a chance, if you're playing relevant football, that has a chance to be a huge game. Late November, at the Sun Bowl. So there's an answer for you, Rudy. Quinn at QuinnDoze98. All the predictions we are seeing online of us being bowl-bound realistic. I don't want to fall victim to the hype like last year. Look, like, I would say anything, if you're going to say either extreme, 9 wins or 3 wins, I think that's unfair at this point. And I mean, this goes back to like our pal at Topper Talk podcast, way too early. The season's a month away. Yeah, dude, I agree. I haven't seen this team since April. Like, I want to see this team in fall camp. I want to see what new parts they have to them. So let's see what happens. I don't want to fall victim to anything, like whether it's high stuff or low stuff. I just want to be fair on this squad and kind of see what they've got on August 30th and make an assessment there. That's a really fair answer. Like it's kind of a whatever answer by me. I'm not trying to avoid this right here, but I want to make more judgments on this team as we evolve week in, week out in fall camp. So I'll have more next week on things I notice about what I can tell you about this team. This is Alfonso Frias. Will the offense be more diverse and dynamic in year two? Walden tried jump-starting the offense by switching quarterbacks, but by midseason, he was just spamming screens. The bubble screens, I think, was by default. I don't think they had the personnel last year to do what they wanted to do, especially at the quarterback position with the inability to have that stability. I mean, they had injuries to that quarterback position. They had 4 different quarterbacks play last year, and I think that can't be the case this year. I think you got to go a full one guy, be the starter all season long, or be tough, but be tough early and kind of flip. If you're going to flip once, make that flip the only thing. This is coming in from Henry at G Novel Henry. How about doing an article on the outgoing seniors on the last year and not wait until senior week? Wow. Love the call out there. And I like what you're saying about seniors. There's a lot of interesting ones to profile, the newcomers that UTEP fans won't have a chance to really attach themselves to, but I think are going to be standouts. Udoka Iziani, pass rusher for this minor squad. I'm really impressed with him. Of course, my favorite, you know, senior is going to be Cam Thomas, who is a redshirt senior and decided to stay for the minors this year. He's going to be just a mainstay player for the squad, and I think so important for them moving forward. You could talk about a lot of other seniors. Of course, Cade McConnell is a personal friend of mine for his time here with 600 ESPN El Paso and interning with us as well. So I got to give him a shout out. And then, there's a lot of other seniors out there who we can profile over the next couple weeks. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. You've got these like graduate seniors who joined the minors this year who will kind of profile over the next couple weeks some of the newcomers who are going to only be here for one season, right? And they chose this UTEP squad to finish out their college campaign. And it's interesting knowing that we live in this NIL world and UTEP can still land players like that. They did that, 5 years ago. They did that 10 years ago. And they're still kind of landing those types of players where, they are a graduate transfer. They are a senior and they're going to play their final season with UTEP. So kind of interesting stuff right there. I didn't answer the pick my axe 915 question of what's going to be the difference in the defensive schemes. JJ Clark's defense was the strongest unit on the team and they were fun to watch, very aggressive. Bobby Daly, from everything I've been told, is going to try to play that same type of defense and going to try to adapt to that. I mean, from everything I've heard about Bobby Daly is that he is a perfect in-game adjustment type of defensive coach. So don't be surprised if they do something very similar to JJ Clark's defense last year. High risk, high reward. They're going to rush the quarterback. They're going to go out there and try to force turnovers. They're going to go out and look at how they finished out the season, right? I mean, they scored two defensive touchdowns against New Mexico State in that win against the battle of I-10 late in the season last year. And that defense really stepped up in big ways. So I think that they're going to maybe even take a step forward defensively. And Bobby Daly, rising coach in the game, he has a lot of talent on this defense. I'm bullish on a lot of guys on this defense, particularly at the linebacker position. If healthy, this defensive line could be pretty fierce. And the defensive backfield, they're seasoned, they're veterans. So don't have a lot of excuses behind them to not be good and have a solid season as well. So I'm interested to see what happens here at fall camp. Let's waste no more time. I appreciate everybody listening to my rant here. 20 minutes talking a little UTEP and previewing minor talk. Up next, Scotty Walden, UTEP head coach, UTEP football. If you are looking for a primer on kind of the backstory about UTEP football this offseason, I would recommend everybody to listen to the Sports Talk podcast out at the district where we had a chance to talk to UTEP head coach Scotty Walden. That gives you a good primer. This one kind of just jumps right into it, especially some of the bigger headlines over the offseason and previewing fall camp from head coach Scotty Walden. Here we go.
Here in the beautiful Larry K. Durham Center, I'm joined by head coach Scotty Walden, year two coming in. Coach, thanks for doing this. Let's just jump right into it. What expectations should fans have here for 2025?
Yeah, Adrian, appreciate you being back with me, man. We're excited about the season. It's right around the corner, starting practice in 2 days. And, you know, I think that, you know, from an expectation standpoint, you know, I've said this since, you know, I've gotten here. Every single year, I mean, no matter what happened last year or whatever, I mean, the expectation should always to be better than you were the year before and always be in the conference championship conversation and being bowl game conversations. I mean, that's our standard, you know, that's never going to waver whether the previous year we were, you know, whatever, you know. So to me, we're really taking this thing. I kind of talked about it at the district when we spoke, you know, we're really, you know, taking this thing 1 week at a time, taking it by the, you know, the process rather than kind of, I think we got the itch last year, speaking for me, got too big of the itch of like, we got to turn this thing around. Yes, we do. No doubt. That is not going to happen in a day or two, you know, and we have to be committed to the process and to the pursuit of excellence every single day. And that is going to eventually turn that ship all the way back around to headed the right direction. And I certainly feel like that ship is turning. I feel extremely confident and excited about this group. This group is hungry. I think all of them, you go through every player on our roster. The thing that I think we did a great job identifying is everyone on this roster has a chip on their shoulder. They have some type of chip where they came up from a lower level, or they were a backup last year, or they were in a developmental role. And so I'm just excited to see the fight and the hunger of this team. And I think our depth is there. And it's going to be fun to get to watch it all materialize.
We've talked a lot over the offseason. We've kind of chronicled everything that's gone on in a very busy offseason. Yeah. From you all, even the last 4 months since the spring game in April all the way here to late July, early August. Like, it's been a very busy offseason. One of the things I really want to highlight a part of your offseason, you committed $70,000 into an NIL challenge that you had community-wide. These are examples of new ways that colleges are being innovative through NIL strategies. Yeah. And through that, you did a matchback program up to $70,000. Yeah. That you committed out of your salary. How are you embracing some of these, newer NIL kind of challenges or innovative ways to continue to create knowledge or create awareness for what you all are trying to accomplish through NIL?
Yeah, it's a great question and concept. And I think that's kind of the part that's exciting about this new wave, if you will, of the portal NIL is like, there's so many different ways to try to strategize, for it, right? And we have to get creative here. I mean, I think all G5s in the country have to get creative. And there's things, I kind of spoke on this at Media Days, like internally, there's things we're going to have to operate differently, because not everything can be the most important thing. We don't have enough money for all that. That's just the reality of not just UTEP. There's probably 5-6 programs in America that can say money's not a problem, contrary to popular belief. So for us, Callie and I sat down and we were like, how can we, invest back into our program? And how can we also show, I think the bigger message we wanted to send was to the El Paso community and to our donor base, that we are all in this too. This is our passion. This is not a job. This is like, we took this opportunity to flip a culture, to flip a mindset, to get a town excited and rally behind their football program. We need to be El Paso's team. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. When the football team is rolling, this town is rolling. And that's our job and that's our calling. So how can we invest back into that? And so Callie and I sat down and we just mapped out what makes sense and how we could get it done. And kudos to Jim and Michael Levy, letting me do that and kind of getting that going. And the thing that I want to highlight in that more than anything is not the sacrifice that Callie and I have made, is the reciprocation and the response from the El Paso community on that, because we really didn't know how's it going to go. And we not only matched that 70, we exceeded it. And I cannot tell you how if that hadn't happened, there's a couple of players on this roster that we don't have right now, and there's a couple of things that we're doing that we can't do right now. And so the El Paso community, I've said, is second to none, and they stepped up in a massive way. And it further drove home the message to Callie and I that like, this place wants to be successful, but I wanted them to know by us doing that we are in it with you. We are not like, because as you, Adrian, it's hard, man, it's hard to go out there constantly to your donor base and always ask. And I don't mind asking for money. That ain't the deal. But like, man, I need them to know that I'm in this with you. This is not a, hey, keep giving, man. And it's just, I'm sitting here in my tower. And no. We're in this with you. And I think that's something that we felt was necessary, and something that I can't thank the El Paso community enough for matching and exceeding that goal. I thought that was a huge win in the offseason for us.
Last year, you explained your recruiting philosophy, recruit the hell out of Texas. And it's evident. I mean, now the philosophy is not a philosophy. You're implementing what your philosophy was. I was reading, it's like 42 out of the 53 recruits were out of Texas and have Texas high school ties. I'll just ask you, like, what are your strengths in Texas and where do you want to continue to grow throughout the Lone Star State?
Yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job. I wish I had the breakdown off the top of my head of like, hey, these guys are from DFW, from Houston. I think that we have done a really good job in the West Texas regions. You look at last year signing Elijah McCoy, Alan Gant, TJ Tillman. I think the best players in West Texas, I think we've done a great job of identifying and keeping them home. And I think that's the part of win the West is that second tier is we got to win West Texas. And now like branching out, you know, I think it's a pretty balanced group. You know, I think, you know, I've told you this, that I just think that, you know, Houston has been really big for us. And I think we have to continue to grow there. Not that we have done poorly there, I feel like. I just feel like that is such a niche for us that we got to continue to get in there and continue to grow that. But the thing about the state of Texas, and I get that question a lot of, you know, why, you know, obviously we're a Texas school, but, you know, hey, why not, you know, do this, do that. One thing people got to understand and remember about Texas is that there, it'd be one thing if this state wasn't deep enough for everything to go around, because we are in a state with, you know, X number of Division I schools, Power 5 here, Power 5 here. I mean, you got, you know, everybody here, right? But the thing is this state is so deep in talent, like the depth is, there's plenty to go around if you go hunt. And so there's also too, man, like, you know, you go down to, whether it's the Hill Country or you go to San Antonio, you go down to the Rio Grande Valley. I mean, you're going to find, like, you look at, like, a kid comes to mind, like Tora Goins from Brazosport, you know, like Brazosport hasn't just pumped out, you know, a ton of NFL guys or a ton of like D1 guys, but when they have one, it's evident. They got a dude, you know what I mean? And and we have an alum from Brazosport, you know, and so Torek, you know, was like one of those things that was like, man, we did a great job identifying him and finding him. And so we got to keep digging in those areas where some people aren't looking because there's going to be a player beneath there somewhere.
Let's talk about your Blue Blaze offense. Let's talk about it previewing kind of fall camp. We'll start off with just your early thoughts on what your expectations are offensively. Yeah. With this squad. Just give us a preview of what you see on offense.
Yeah, just want to play cleaner. I mean, we want to play cleaner. I think that we have now in year two. The other thing in the midst of everything else going on is we got to remember too, like, you know, we're trying to flip a roster from a different mindset of offensive philosophies. Not that last philosophy is bad or this philosophy is better. That's not the argument. It's just what we believe and how we run offense. And so our personnel, you look at our depth chart now and you look at the people we've brought in, it matches what we do better. And I think that I want to see us play cleaner and not necessarily where we just had, you know, it didn't feel like last year. And I think we ended up minus one in the turnover margin, which we don't want to be there. We want to be, you know, plus five and above. But it didn't feel like we were just like turning it over ad nauseum. You know, it, we did a decent job of taking care of the football. The issue was scoring the ball. And so we have got to play cleaner in the red zone. We've got to find a way to generate more explosive plays. I think that is not only scheme, but personnel too, and it's a mixture of both. And I think we've adapted our scheme this spring to where we can get those guys easier in positions to get the right guys the ball when they need it, and then you know, allow them to go to have another year in the system and execute. That's been paramount. Just seeing the retention of detail and having another year of all the routes and all the things just ingrained in their head, that's been fun to watch, man. Like, okay, they got this down now, where last year was kind of some hesitancy, and you can tell these guys, like I always tell, like when we're playing fast, not fast tempo, but when individuals are playing fast and they're playing with, you know, great instincts, I'm like, okay, they're picking it up and they got it. So we just want to play cleaner. We want to be able to run the football more effectively and consistently. And I certainly love the maturation of our offensive line in that regard too. So those are some big things.
All right, let's start with the quarterback battle. That's going to be the headline going into fall camp. You just tell us your thoughts on the quarterbacks ahead and what you see from these four quarterbacks going into fall camp. It's an exciting group, and you go 4+1 with a nice freshman in Chad Warner too. Yeah. It's an exciting group right there.
Yeah, I said this before, it's probably the most talented room top to bottom I've been a part of. And I think if you sum it up, it's experience versus talent. Not that the experienced guys ain't talented and not that the talented guys don't have any level of experience. It's just, you know, you've got McConnell and Locklear that have played, you know, a lot of snaps now. And, you know, it's going to be a tough decision, always is. But, you know, this year I feel like it's a little different in the sense of like, okay, I know – you know, Skyler last year, even though I recruited him as a freshman, he had never started. and now he's got a season under his belt starting. I know what to, you know, I got a better viewpoint of what to expect from him. Cade McConnell, I never coached him. Last year, he played. Okay, I've got a viewpoint of, you know, what he can do. Shea played at times last year, right? Like, I got a viewpoint of what he can do. Malachi's obviously new. Chad's new. But I think that, you know, we have talent and experience in that room now. And it's going to be a battle of, you know, what kind of rises to the top. Does the experience kind of trump the talent? Or is the talent so good here in fall camp that it's like, man, we can't not play this guy? And I think that's ultimately what this is going to come down to, is the experience versus the talent piece, you know. And we certainly want to be more stable at that position. You know, my goal is certainly not to play three or four guys like, you know, we did last year. That was sometimes out of necessity of injury, but also too, you know, we picked a guy, want to rally behind that guy, and we want that guy to be the guy. But, you know, you can never put a square peg in a round hole. If things aren't working and things aren't, we're not playing to the standard, then you know what? Then we gotta make hard decisions. And I'm hoping that we don't get in that mode this year. But that the talents there, I've also seen the leadership. I've been so impressed with that group in terms of leadership too. So it'll be a battle. It will be a battle, and it'll be fun to watch.
I want to highlight a position group in the offensive line. You had attrition over the offseason, just like every other program does, and you all were able to supplement some of the talent you lost with newcomers that we haven't had a chance to see, guys like Mark Robinson, James Williams coming into the mix as well. Yeah. You have also homegrown talent, Ivan Escobar, Joseph Immediato. You got guys with experience like Azizi Henry.
Sure.
How's the offensive line kind of coming along?
You know, I feel, you know, maybe a little stronger about that group than some people do. We Coach Sanchez done a great job of developing. You look at last year, we're going into it, really no one had played. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? And now we're going into it, and we have several guys that played last year. Even like Jaquan Toney started games. Luka Matamoro started games. I mean, you know, Ivan, first year starting, he's got all those reps under his belt. Joe started games and played. Azizi started his first full season. James is a newcomer. Mark's a newcomer. But, you know, we think those guys, you know, have done a fantastic job. And so, you know, you look at it, and I like the depth better. I like the experience better. We're stronger and we're bigger. So when I flash back a year ago and I just look at the progression, everything is improved. And so I'm excited about that group. And if spring's any indication, then, you know, that's going to be a fun group to watch, because they, you know, I really like the way we practiced this spring with those guys. They were physical. We tried to eliminate some overthinking and just let those guys play. And I think Coach Tantek's done an amazing job with that. And you see those guys coming off the ball with confidence. And that's when it gets fun to watch. So that's a group I'm excited to work with.
Speaking of excited, my favorite position group, no question about it, D-line coach. I love your D-line. Ashton Coker, KD Johnson coming back.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Did you just keep them the best kept secret? And then you've got your edge rushers too.
Yeah.
You're talking about newcomers. You're talking about guys who you got through the portal.
Yes.
But look at the success last year that UTEP had. You had the CUSA leading sack leader, Maurice Westmoreland. Then you look at number two, it's a freshman in Kyrie and Duhon.
I know.
Productivity could be there for UTEP moving forward with guys like this rushing the passer.
Yeah.
Tell me about your D-line.
Man, we're deeper by far than we were last year. We feel like we can throw nine guys in a rotation. I mean, seriously, like that. Coach Jones has done an amazing job recruiting, Coach Daly as well, of identifying length and size and getting those guys in here. That's been really good to watch. You know, Maurice and Kyron Duhon are two individuals that are very hard to replace. I do think there are some guys that have the potential to replace that productivity. Will they be ready this year? You know, maybe KD, we know, is an all-conference player, so we know he can absolutely do that. But it may be by committee, you know, that we reproduce that, because I think we are as deep as I've ever been at the D-line spot. You talk about guys like Elijah Baldwin, who's now 240 pounds. Udoka Ezeani on the edge as well. Udoka's a dog. And then you got guys like Derek Burns, Ashad Hall coming from South Carolina State, had 11 sacks last year. You know, we feel like he's a really strong pass rusher. Tyler Scott, Cole Gustafson have both played in this league and produced. And so there's experience, right? We have a young man named Orion Fisher from West Virginia that, you know, there's a reason why he was Power 5. I mean, he is 6'6", and, you know, he can touch my desk over here. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he is long. And so then you had guys like Nico Guerra, we got Will Weber, It's fun. And then, you know, the Young Bucks, man, I'm excited about those guys. Leander Parrish from Rockwall and Jimmy Leon from Mount Micah in Arizona. Those guys are special, man. Like, they're going to be good. Like, that's going to be a really fun group to watch. I'm with you. That's one of my favorite groups because the depth has really shown up. So, we got to do a great job of finding the best, four guys to put out there and how that works, you know.
Your linebacker group, too. I was really impressed with the depth. I was looking at the list. Garrett Hawkins, Stratton Shufeld, Joshua Rudolph. You just think, oh, well, those three are surefire starters. But then you look a little deeper, and it's like, wait a second. Don't forget Nate Diamond. Don't forget about guys like Micah Davey, who was so productive last year for McNeese. Yeah. And don't forget about the hometown guy and Jaden Wilson, who wants to get on the field too. I mean, that's a really deep
brother.
Group.
That's in my opinion, that's a D-line is super deep. Linebacker, maybe I'm a little partial to being the deepest group on the team because I've seen all those guys in spring ball. The D-line, while the depth's there, we haven't seen those guys in pads yet. But linebacker-wise, man, I'm just telling you, those cats right there are as deep a group as we got. Every time I bring that group up, I'm going through them, and then I forget one of them. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about so-and-so. You know, so we got to find a way to get those guys on. They're physical. They're big. All of them are 220, 230 pounds, and they're exactly what we – are searching for guys that have KEB tackles, knock them back tackles, guys that will, you know, what they hit goes backwards. And so I love the leadership of that group. Those guys are you know, some of the core leaders on our team, and they have the respect of the locker room.
Two new coordinators, Mark Kalla on offense and then on defense, Bobby Daly. What's it been like adjusting with those guys to the mix?
Been fantastic. Both those guys are such great offensive and defensive minds. They bring so much to the table, winning pedigrees. But I love the way that they think. They're both very detailed in everything that they do, and that's really stood out in the interview process and getting to know them. But I think just, you know, especially like for me, like Coach Kalla, just, you know, bringing not only ideas to the table, but being able to structure this drill a little differently, you know, like, just, it's been so good to bounce ideas and collaborate, and he's a great offensive mind. And then Bobby Daly, who led a team to the national championship last year. There's a reason for that. You know what I mean? He understands personnel. He adapts to personnel. He understands what the offense is trying to do to him and the counters on that. And, like, I just love those two guys. They're football IQ, but also I think they're A1 people, man. Like, they're people that fit the city of El Paso. They're humble. They're down to earth. They're hardworking. They're blue collar. They're West Texas tough. I mean, they fit. I mean, heck, they rode in the Sun Bowl with me on a horse. You know what I'm saying? So we all, you know, if I could ride on a horse with you into the Sun Bowl, then I you know, you're my kind of guys. You know, so they've been awesome fits, and kudos to the players too. They've adjusted. It's been very, very, when you have turnover at your coordinator spots, like, there's been no hiccups. It's been so smooth transitionally, and I've been very proud of that with those guys, but also our players.
So I was doing some prep on this, and I was listening back to some minor talks, and I was surprised because we had some callers or whatever, people on social media who were upset about celebration. Can we throw a PSA? Because we felt very passionate about this, and we were like, let them celebrate. I don't care if it's a win against the Aggies in the Battle of I-10 or a win against Kennesaw State in a double overtime. Let the team celebrate. Can you give a PSA to the fans to say we're going to celebrate and we're unapologetically?
Brother, if you and I play checkers right now and I beat you, I'm celebrating. All right, we win. Like, when you win, you celebrate. And that's one the reason behind that, and the players know this because we talk about all the time, is we're going to celebrate every victory. You know, the greatest loss in life is the loss of enthusiasm. When we lose enthusiasm, you know, we start to lose more than just wins and losses. We lose our core, who we are. We lose the fire and passion why we do what we do. These kids work their absolute tails off at, you know, early in the morning, practicing, hitting, prepping. And by God, we win a game, we're going to celebrate that thing like it's, you know, 1989, my birth year. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna have a great time with that. That does not mean that we are immature or we are not understanding that we were, you know, we beat FIU and you know, we weren't going to sit there and be like, well, you know, about time we win a game and we just feel sorry for ourselves and we don't celebrate. Bull crap, man. We're going to go jump in the student section. They came out to watch us. We're going to go up with the fans. We're going to have a great time. And my PSA to fans on that is just think about when we do flip this thing around and those wins are even more meaningful, how fun that's going to be. So the greatest loss in life is a loss of enthusiasm. You can't lose that, man. You can't lose that fire and that passion. So we're going to have fun with everything.
Last one for me, Coach.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Transition from Conference USA to Mountain West. You've said this a lot over the offseason. You're recruiting to the Mountain West. You're getting ready for the Mountain West right
sure.
now. You still have things to take care of here in Conference
yeah.
USA to your perspective. But how do you see this final, the last dance here in Conference USA and then transitioning into the Mountain West?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us football-wise and everything, we've been fully focused on Conference USA and this year because you got to take things one year at a time. All I care about is the 2025 UTEP Miners. But obviously when we look at recruiting, we know what we're going to go up against. And so we're gauging our recruiting against all the Mountain West squads and stuff like that. And I think that it's been really – when we look at those comparisons, we've kept the Boises of the world. We kept those people in that count because they're still in there as of now, right? We know they're leaving. But, you know, we want to be the best of the best. And so how do we stack up against the best of the best, right? And I think that's been really cool. I think it's going to be an exciting time in UTEP athletics as we make that transition and get – renew those rivalries and things like that. But our full focus is on this season, obviously. But it's been cool in recruiting to kind of start looking ahead and compare, okay, where are we deficient? Where do we need to, you know, get better? And where do we need to – because that's the future. You know, when we recruit these freshmen, those are the people they're going to be playing against for the long term. So looking at it from that point of view. But in terms of that, it's been full focus on CUSA this year and going out with a bang.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for all the time.
Hey, thank you for your coverage of – our program and all you guys do, Adrian. We appreciate you, man. And thanks for coming by to see me today, brother.
Awesome stuff.
Yes, sir.